From Studio 22, you're listening to Servcast with your hosts William Lamb and Tyler Shores. Servcast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William and Tyler.
Welcome back to Servcast. My name's Tyler. We're so glad you're joining us today in Studio 22. We've decided to interrupt the series we've been doing on benevolence to bring you a sermon that William gave about a month and a half ago at an event called Cry Out America. This is an event that's held annually on September 11th, and it's a lot of community leaders will just come together for a day of prayer. It was initiated by the 9/11 attacks, and the goal of this is to join people in prayer for America. And William was asked to speak at this, and he gave a talk that challenged those there to live according to God's word, to be godly citizens, and to pray for the nation. And was something that he did that I think is significant, and I think it really connects to what we're trying to encourage people to do here at Servcast. Is he affirmed prayer, and he talked about the importance of it. But what he also did was he said that prayer needs to be lived out also in our actions, and so that our obligations to people and to our community and to God really do not stop once we've said our prayers, but they must continue in action in the community. And we just really thought that you would enjoy this and be encouraged and challenged by it. And so the next thing you're going to hear now is William giving this talk, and we really hope and pray that it speaks to you in a special way. Enjoy.
I am convinced tonight that if we will do what we have sang about, if we will do what we have prayed about, if we will do what we have cried about, and if we'll do what we have said tonight, that when this night goes down in a historical file for Cleveland and Bradley County, we will know that we have done what we're supposed to do. But if we don't wake up tomorrow with the same intensity, the same interest, the same desire, the same unified focus, and the same hunger, then we will have missed God. I'm here for a few minutes tonight to challenge you, and the word that was given to me, or the theme that was given to me tonight, is simple. Challenge to live according to God's word. Be godly citizens and pray for our nation. We are in trouble. I know what that means when I have said that in a personal prayer of repentance. I know what that feels like. But I also know what it means when it relates to the current status of our country and our world. I admit tonight that as a nation in America, in the United States of America, we are in trouble. But there is hope. Do you believe that? And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. While there may be some pockets of utopian lifestyle and experience, and some families living in communities of harmony, the moral fiber of our country is frayed, if not already cut in two. Similar to the society in Jesus' time, the status of our world is also splintered, and people are confused. We are a theologically pluralistic and sometimes deceived people. Some might even say we are spiritual schizophrenic. Lord, help us. We accept evil wrapped as preferences and choices. Entertainment appetites have tended to crowd out the spiritual hunger that brings about revival. The Christian church seems more like a social gathering sometimes, are a club than a place of transformation. Our enemy has cast seeds of rebellion, racism, violence, and moral demise leaving many spiritually bankrupt across the landscape of a country that was first founded on the principles of God, unity, and hope. Even worse, we have watered these seeds, given room for them to grow, and excuse it as tradition or culture. Lord, help us. We are in trouble, but there is hope, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He is here for us tonight. Amen. Most of us in this room have either delivered or heard hundreds of messages, if not thousands. God does use these public gatherings, and He uses what we think the foolishness of preaching to till the soil of a soul. It is likely that most of you have proven track record of prayerful intercession, where you have shed rivers of tears and put to halt untold plans of evil. Don't stop praying. There is hope. Amen. The prayers of praying parents and now the prayers of children have rescued millions from the flames of hell. There are millions more that need to be reached. We must stay awake. We must pray always. We have a calling to fulfill, but there is hope, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He loves us tonight. There is a story told by Jesus in a parable of Luke 18. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to His elect who cry out to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" At first, the judge delayed the answer, but the widow remained persistent. We must not faint in our prayer vigils. Hallelujah. We must not faint in our public gatherings to proclaim faith. We must continue proclamations that we are dependent upon God, because God does hear us when we cry out to Him. When He does not answer according to our timeline or our preferences, we must keep praying. Hallelujah. There is little in life more frustrating than to hold a promise that God will answer and feel like the answer will never come. But I will tell you, in those moments, and as I look across this room, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of stories told where they held on and we were persistent and we prayed anyway, and they died sick, but we didn't stop praying. To this passage, Luke 18 reminds us 4 points. Be persistent, hold on to faith, press in daily, and do so until Jesus returns. There is never a retreat from this. There is never a stop from this. There is never a halt from this. You don't clock out and go home. If you're in the faith, you fight until you die or Jesus returns. There is no other way, but there is hope. Hallelujah. And His name is Jesus Christ. Prayer was never intended to be a singular event. Prayer was never intended to be a singular event that we do in some kind of gathering or in some closet and think we have done enough. Prayer works in tandem with the Spirit and with us. He empowers us for action to make an impact and a difference in a world that needs Jesus. It is communication between deity and humanity, between almighty and mortals, between God and us, and between us and God. It is communication. We speak and He hears. He speaks and we listen. But when He speaks and we listen, we willingly respond. And when we do that, we will be a reflection of Him to the world. Be careful lest you think you're hearing me say that praying is not enough. That's exactly what I'm saying. Prayer is not enough. Don't miss what I'm saying tonight. I believe in prayer meetings. I believe in this awakening rally. I'm a Marine Corps vet. I love our country. I love people. But I'm telling you, we got to wake up after we finish our prayer time and walk out in the street and be Jesus to this world. Exodus 14 says this. Moses, or the Lord speaking to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. The enemy of God was setting battle of fleshly proportion against the children of Israel, but God had a plan of supernatural form that included obedience and action. This plan of God was not to be completed on a mountain of prayer, although it was birthed there. Instead, it involved a simple command to go forward and a simple response to raise a staff in obedience and let God do what only God can do. Joshua 7 and 10, the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Get up. Why are you laying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. After suffering defeat and I, due to sin and disobedience, Joshua heard God clearly, which included a simple command to cleanse the house and a simple response to consecration individually and corporately to God. Wake up! It seems to me that God's remarks to Joshua may have sounded like a desperate, nearly frustrated parent saying for the last time to their teenage child, if you don't get out of the bed, I tell you what. Joshua had already been suffering defeat, and God said, wake up. If we want to live as godly citizens according to God's word, then we must take our faith mobile. Perhaps we need a biblical and integrity-based dose of activism. Don't misunderstand me tonight. To stand in the gap for those that cannot do so themselves. To raise a standard beyond the prayer closet that will be lived out in the street. An example of this would be praying for a reversal of Roe versus Wade. But until that happens, go to the abortion clinic and give a cup of water in Jesus' name before they go in and stand at the exit door when they come out and embrace that broken mama and embrace them and tell them that Jesus loves them. Wow. You can add any illustration you want in there and it be applicable. We must take our faith to the street. If you like being part of the God waking, making a way to escape for Moses on the dry ground between two walls of thundering sea, know that God will also bring judgment upon his enemies. He will also bring judgment. Exodus 14, 26, when all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and the chariots. History reveals for us seasons of spiritual renewal. Seasons of spiritual corruption. 9/11 will forever be remembered as a tragedy. The days after 9/11 marked a country of souls crying out before God. Soon after and now, 15 years later, we are reeling again with corruption and complacency. We must wake up now so that the next generation not fall into a deeper sleep than we have had. Finally tonight, I want to encourage you, pray continually, always, every day, but raise your staff. If you want to pray for repentance, great, but be willing to repent yourself. If you want to pray for godly political candidates and exercise your civil right to vote, be willing to run if God taps your heart. Pray for influential leaders, but use your influence for the kingdom of God purposes only. Pray for resources and use your privilege to influence others towards good works and not as a paternalistic, episodic event. God is not in the token business. He did not give you tokens, neither does he expect us to give tokens in his name to others. There is a hope, and his name is Jesus, and he wants to use you and me as lights to the world. Pray for the outcast, but build a bridge of inclusion for them. Pray for protection, but defend the defenseless. Pray for unity and extend the olive branch first before it's extended to you. Pray for racial reconciliation. Oh, you need to hear me for a second. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Los Angeles, California. I spent 45 minutes with John Perkins for a podcast interview. And you know what he said to me? He said, you can call me your friend. And I'm going to call you my friend. And we need to find more things that we like about each other instead of the things that we hate about one another. He says, pray for racial reconciliation, but quit making racial slurs, slanderous jokes, and demoralizing glares. I'm going to read that again. You need to hear me, church. You need to hear me, South. You need to hear me and hear me well. God wants racial reconciliation, and he wants us to be examples of that to the world. Pray for racial reconciliation, but when you finish that prayer, quit making racial slurs, slanderous jokes, and demoralizing glares. And if you do, I pray God makes you so sick, you're going to throw up until you can confess right there and repent and ask God to forgive you. Amen. Amen. Pray for healing, but cross to the other side of the road and be the Good Samaritan. Pray for deliverance and go unlock the chains that binds others. Pray for light to expose darkness, but go turn the light on. Pray for laborers in this harvest and be willing to simply walk across the room, across the street, across the boundaries that have divided us, and be a reflection of God, not a refraction to the world. Pray, come, Lord Jesus. But until he comes, be Jesus to the world. We can't do what God's called us to do as believers without prayer and action. I am convinced to serve without prayer is powerless, but to pray without serving is empty. Pray for the next generation, and while doing so, lead well in your generation. Look for the not so obvious. Listen, my friends, to what others can't say. Fine-tune your hearing in the prayer closet. But then, hallelujah. Fine-tune your hearing in the prayer closet. But then, get up off your face. Cleanse the camp. Raise the staff. Hallelujah. And go forward. Because there's a world looking for Jesus. He gave himself to you and I that they might look at us and see him also. In Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for joining us on Servcast today. We hope that you're inspired and challenged by William's words and that you will continue to both pray for the society and the communities we live in, but that you also act and that ultimately you'll be a good neighbor. Huge thanks to Grayson Long for all his work in editing. We'll continue our benevolence series with the next release. We'll have Jake Stumm in to talk to us about simplicity. We're really looking forward to that conversation, and we look forward to seeing you back here at Studio 22.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, Tyler Shores, their guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.